There's no free lunch when it comes to investing. But what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, financial planning, items of interest, and even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to the Free Lunch Podcast, hosted by Canvas Wealth. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty. Learn more and subscribe today at canvaswealth.ca.
Welcome back to the Free Lunch Podcast with today, Greg and Colin. Greg, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
Nice to have you back.
Nice to be, you know, nice to head back.
We could go on.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't think anybody's here to listen to us just welcome each other.
No, no. There's probably more important things to talk about.
Well, yesterday was an important day, although we're not really recording it as if yesterday. But anyways, yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, Greg.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, a couple of Irish sayings I was looking up in preparation for our recording today. Greg, may your pockets be heavy and your heart be light.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And here's another one. It is better to pay the butcher than the doctor.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Give you one more. It's as easy to catch a cold in a king's castle as it is in a shepherd's hut.
Good point.
Yeah. Anyways, yes. Irish sayings.
May all your troubles be wee ones.
Is that a real one or did you just make that up?
It is. No, no.
That's good for you.
Well, you know, my Irish background, I guess, is coming through there.
I looked up my Irish background because I was always told that my family was from Ireland, and they were.
Yeah.
But like, it was like my great-grandpa's father.
Right.
So, am I really from Ireland?
I mean, Andrew sounds a little more Scottish to me.
Well, it was Irish. It had an E at the end of it at one point.
Oh.
And then they immigrated to England and dropped the E because they didn't want to be known as Irish. Seems weird to talk about on a day like today because we're just celebrating the green beer from yesterday. But our episode today is St. Patrick's Day related, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I should say that our episode today is episode 302.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. It's a real number.
Almost exactly 5 years since we started this podcast.
Pretty close. Yep. Pretty close. So with St. Patrick's Day just behind us and everything green related, people definitely are constantly talking about luck, fortunes, and pots of gold,
yep.
Right? And it struck us that these themes show up in the investing community and in investing constantly because lots of times people are talking about being lucky, finding the right stock, being in the right place at the right time. So we wanted to use these St. Patrick's Day themes and talk about what actually drives long-term investing success and what doesn't. Because why wouldn't we use St. Patrick's Day as a prop, Greg?
Exactly.
There's a romantic idea in markets that wealth comes from being, I don't know, clever, early, or fortunate. And if you just find the right opportunity, everything else takes care of itself. But this is very far from reality, Greg. The reality is that it's far less exciting, but far more reliable.
Yeah, exactly. And the timing of this conversation matters because when markets have done well, or when a particular theme is working, people start to believe there's something special happening and that maybe this time the rules are different. So holidays like St. Patrick's Day amplify that mindset because they celebrate luck and fortune. But investing doesn't reward beliefs. It rewards discipline, as we've talked many times.
Yeah, so the first thing we're going to tackle is this whole luck versus skill. And anybody that's listened to this podcast for off and on for the last 5 years will know that we've talked about this topic in the past. But one of the most dangerous ideas in investing is confusing them. Because in the short term, outcomes can be quite noisy. I mean, a stock can go up for reasons that have nothing to do with fundamentals. Like sometimes you'll see stocks go up 5-6% in a day and there's no news.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, somebody's driving that, right? Mm-hmm. So a portfolio can underperform even if it's well constructed. This randomness makes it incredibly tempting to draw the wrong conclusions at times. And so if you look at the data over any single year, roughly 40 to 45% of U.S. stocks outperform the overall market.
Yeah.
That's in any 1 year, yeah. Right? But over 10 years, that number drops to about 25%. And over 20 years, it's closer to 10%.
Yeah.
So just that time does expose whether returns came from repeatable skill or temporary luck, because anybody can get lucky.
Yeah, and what's tricky is the fact that luck can look exactly like skill for years. You know, so someone can make a few good calls in a favorable environment and build a reputation around it. But eventually, markets test whether a process is repeatable. You know, skill shows up through cycles and luck tends to disappear when conditions change.
Sure.
So that's why when researchers study professional money managers, they consistently find that very few outperform their benchmarks over full market cycles, and even fewer do so persistently. So past performance, which everyone has heard, past performance has almost no predictive power for future outperformance.
Yeah, going back to that leaders portfolio put out by Scotiabank years ago.
Yeah.
Let's just buy the best performing funds from last year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Didn't really work out that well.
Well, and it's the whole thing, you know, it's, you know, we talk about this sometimes, like if enough people flip a coin 10 times, there's going to be some people that flip all heads or flip all tails.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're extremely good coin flippers.
Yeah.
It's a matter of luck.
Yeah.
You know, but what happens in stock picking is that if you pick a few winners, all of a sudden you're seen as a brilliant market professional.
Well, like there was a guy we worked alongside at another firm years ago, and when he was a rookie advisor, he picked four stocks.
Yep.
Had four lists to call.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of those four stocks, two went up and two went down. So we called the list of the two that went up.
Yep.
Of which one of those then went up and one went down, and he called the list of the one that went up.
Yeah.
So if you're on the other end of that call, you think, geez, this person's gotten it right like three or four times in a row.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but it was just marketing, right?
That's right.
So it's kind of like chasing rainbows. We're talking about market timing and illusions. I mean, the rainbow metaphor, I think it fits market timing perfectly. There's always this sense that if you move just a little faster, you're a little smarter, that you'll get that pot of gold before everybody else. And investors can spend enormous amounts of energy trying to predict where markets will go, where interest rates are headed, when the next correction will arrive, and which sector will lead. We believe that this is futile behavior, but that's what people do, right? Because the research shows the actual outcomes, and these results are, in a word, brutal. I mean, missing just the 10 best days in a 20-year period, and we've gone over this data before. I mean, that's 10 days of 20 years to which there's, I don't know, 2,200 trading days in those 10 or in those 20 years, right?
Yep.
No.
4,400.
4,400 trading days.
Yeah.
So what's 10 divided by 4,400?
It's an incredibly small number.
It's a small number. We're not calculators. Don't ask us to figure that out. But it means that you've missed out on maybe 40 to 50% in total returns.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, those best days often happen during periods of maximum fear, not periods of maximum confidence. You know, but the thing about timing is it feels productive, you know, so it feels like you're doing something, you know, and we've talked about a lot of times how activity comforts people in some way.
Yeah.
You see it in professional sports. Team has a bad game and all of a sudden the coach is getting fired.
Yeah.
You know, so that sense of being active and being productive, you know, makes you feel good that you're taking some action, but most of the time it adds complexity and doesn't actually improve the outcomes at all.
Yeah.
So what rarely gets talked about with that kind of activity is the emotional toll. So investors who try to time markets, they live in a constant state of tension. Every headline becomes a signal. Every pullback feels like a test of their conviction.
Right.
And in fact, studies comparing investor returns to market returns consistently show a gap of 1% to 3% per year, which is largely explained by poor timing decisions. So buying after the rallies and selling after the declines.
Right. And that's a big number. Even if it was just 1% a year.
Yeah.
Over 10, 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, right on.
Compounding.
Yep.
It's a big number. Yep. The point of this podcast, you've heard of leprechauns, Greg?
I have heard of them.
I actually don't know what a leprechaun is. I mean, I guess I do, but they're not real.
Now you've destroyed the dreams of so many kids.
Sorry, kids. Santa's also not real. Oh, did I say that out loud?
What? Way to go.
Well, there's no leprechauns in finance, and, you know, there's no magical strategies that eliminate risk while delivering strong returns. Every investment has a trade-off. So even if they're hidden behind complex language or clever marketing, I mean, historically, higher returns have always been linked to higher risk. They don't always come with higher risk is a point I'd also like to make.
Yep.
So just taking on more risk does not ensure higher returns, but it gives you a better opportunity for it. So equity markets stock markets in English, have outperformed bond markets over long periods of times because they have higher volatility. right? The small and value cap stocks, which is something that we focus on in our model portfolios, have delivered higher expected returns, but sometimes with longer and deeper drawdowns. And you see that from time to time, especially these last few years where it's been large cap growth stocks that have sort of led the charge.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, people are like, well, what about this small cap value tilt that you keep telling us that comes into play? And we just say, well, it's just not here right now.
Yeah.
You have to wait.
Yeah, exactly. And that's especially important during periods of uncertainty. So when markets feel unstable, investors become more vulnerable to certainty. And that's when products and strategies promising protection tend to flourish. You know, so people will talk about hedge funds or, you know, a variety of other structured notes, you know, designed to offer you supposedly protection.
But 7 out of the top 10 most richest people in America are hedge fund managers.
Sure they are.
It offered them protection.
Exactly.
And gave their families.
So don't be a hedge fund investor, be a hedge fund manager.
There you go.
When researchers examine low-risk, high-return strategies, when you look at those after fees, taxes, and complexity, most simply repackaging risk rather than removing it. So the risk shows up later or all at once, you know. So anything typically promising, oh, this is going to be less risky and offer better returns, usually will not turn out to be the case.
No. If you hear things like low-risk, high-return, like run.
Yeah.
That just doesn't go together. No. That's like buying a Yugo and expecting to race it in the Indy 500.
Exactly.
Do you remember Yugos?
I do. I once had a friend who was, you know, in the States, and there was he was on a street corner. I think it was in Pittsburgh, and there was a Mercedes dealership on one corner and a Yugo dealership on the other, and he was thinking to himself, well, I could either go buy a Mercedes or 10 Yugos.
You probably need the 10 Yugos for parts, though,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I wonder if Yugos are still around.
I don't know.
Wasn't that a Russian-made car?
Yeah. I think Russian or something Eastern European. Probably Russian. Yeah.
Okay, well, enough about the Yugos. They're just fun.
Are we recommending Russian cars to our listeners?
God, no. Not really.
No, me neither. No.
Okay, the real pot of gold is time and compounding. So that is the pot of gold investing. It isn't hidden. It sounds boring, but it works. It's just time. So that time allows things like compounding to take effect. It smooths out randomness. It rewards your patience. So historically, global stock markets on average have delivered 8 to 10% a year in returns for a long, long period of time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not evenly distributed. That majority of wealth creation happens in later decades, not earlier ones. So it's just being in the market for a long time.
That's right, and letting the investments grow. Over time, the value of the investments grow, and then a small return even can mean a lot of actual dollars in return. You know, but compounding doesn't announce itself. It's not loud. It's quiet, you know, and it's very slow at first. And one day you look back and realize that most of the wealth was created not by dramatic decisions, but just by staying invested through ordinary years and uncomfortable years as well.
Yeah.
So to put numbers on it, an investor earning 8% annually doubles their money roughly every 9 years. And if you interrupt that process with emotional decisions, then the math breaks pretty quickly.
And I think to add to that, investors that actually put money in the market regularly, it's not like you just put it in once and then let it grow for 8% a year for many years.
Right.
You got to have a saving strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of your future returns will come by how much you're able to actually save.
That's right. And when you save regularly, whether it's annual contributions to registered plans or whatever it might be, you know, and we've talked about dollar cost averaging in the past, but when you're saving like that, your mindset changes as well, because what you hope for is that you actually hope for markets to be relatively low.
Yeah.
When you're saving, when you're putting the money in, you'd like to be buying stocks when they're at low prices. And it's only when you're reaching the point where you're planning to live off of your investments that you want markets to be high.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a mental shift that you have to say, okay, well, I know I've got money invested, but as long as I'm putting more money in, I'd like to be buying at low prices, not at high prices.
Well, that's always the goal, right?
Yep.
Buy low, sell high.
Right on.
I don't know if you heard that one before.
I have heard of that one.
Yeah. That's it's pretty typical.
Or buy low and never sell.
Well, your estate will sell.
Yes, I guess that's right.
You know, so even if you don't have to sell when you die, it's sold.
Go ahead, bring that up.
Hate to tell you this, but, you know, leprechauns aren't real and you're going to die.
Oh man, this has been a tough day for me.
So green isn't always gold is the next part of our podcast here. So trends and cycles. So every cycle has its version of green, the thing that feels obvious, inevitable, and morally or technologically superior. You could liken that right now to, I don't know, maybe AI.
Sure.
Years ago, it was marijuana stocks, GameStop.
Yep.
Or AMC was another.
Internet stocks. And
hype cycle. Yeah.
In the late 90s.
Sure. But trends are not inherently bad. Like, progress is real. Innovation matters. But price always matters, too. Because historically, the most exciting sectors often deliver below average returns after peak popularity. And it's not because the innovation fails, but because expectations were maybe too high.
Yeah, and the data is actually pretty clear on that. Stocks with the highest expected growth rates tend to underperform stocks with more modest expectations over long time horizons. So popularity gets priced in pretty quickly, and then reality arrives slowly. So discipline means accepting that you don't need to own everything exciting to build wealth. You just need to own everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you looked at our model portfolios, and between you and me, Greg, I'm highly recommending that people consider our model portfolios.
Of course.
I'm just saying.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they've got a small cap value tilt and they're highly diversified in a global structure.
Yep. Low cost.
They're not the sexiest of things. They're not things that are going to hit the headlines.
Yeah.
They just work.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? So, you know, yeah, you can spend all that time trying to find a pot of gold, all that effort and energy, or you can just put it into things that work.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. Okay, so Irish proverbs and behavioral wisdom is our next topic. So there's a lot of Irish proverbs out there. I named a few or said a few of them at the beginning.
Yep.
Here's one that I didn't say. Dig the well before you're thirsty. That sounds cool.
A good one. Yeah. I like that.
So it's just basically risk management in a sentence. So planning ahead matters more than reacting. And from an investment standpoint, this is exactly why diversified portfolios and this idea of rebalancing exist, because although markets are unpredictable, our investor behavior is not.
Yeah. And another one that I like, because I feel a little bit of a connection to it, unfortunately, is you'll never plow a field by turning it over in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, and that just talks to overthinking, you know, so overthinking can be very costly. And at some point, you just need a plan and willingness to act on it, even when certainty is unavailable. And I think we've probably established that certainty is almost never available when it comes to investing.
Well, you can have certainty. You can buy a GIC.
That's true.
You're certain on how much you're going to get over a term and at the end.
Yeah.
The trade-off is that the uncertainty that you forego might have had quite a significant different rate of
return. Yeah, and the studies in behavioral finance, which we've talked about a lot, is that decisive investors with structured plans consistently outperform those who are constantly revising their strategies based on recent news or events.
Yeah, so listen, I like St. Patrick's Day because I've got some Irish in me.
Yep.
But it's also kind of a cool holiday.
It is.
There's a lot of great old sayings, only because the Irish have been around a long, long time.
How long exactly, Colin?
Well, I have no idea. I don't know. How long do you think they've been around, Greg?
A very long time.
Yeah, let's just say long.
Okay.
Right? But yeah, there's some really cool sayings that I was looking up. I mean, may your pockets always have a coin or two inside is a common blessing. Scabby is slang for someone being cheap or stingy. He who loses money loses much. He who loses a friend loses more. He who loses faith loses all. That one's a little deep for me.
Yeah.
Ignore that one.
Very spiritual.
Yep. Very spiritual. But so as we come out of St. Patrick's Day, it's worth remembering that successful investing does not require the luck of the Irish. It requires humility, structure, and patience.
Yeah. And the real pot of gold isn't found by chasing rainbows. It's built slowly, intentionally, and often unremarkably. It's pretty boring.
Boring works.
Yep.
Happy belated St. Patrick's Day, Greg.
Yes. Yes.
May your portfolios be resilient, your decisions disciplined.
May you never go looking for leprechauns in the market.
I shouldn't have said that thing about Santa. Anybody that's listening to this with a small child, I'm sure Santa's real.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Leprechauns are real too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they are real in, what's that breakfast cereal with the leprechaun?
Lucky Charms?
Lucky Charms.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
When's the last time you had Lucky Charms?
I've never had a Lucky Charm.
No?
No.
I've had Lucky Charms, but like probably not in like 40 years.
Yeah. No.
Might have to go get some.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast hosted by Canvas Wealth. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to canvaswealth.ca. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast.
Financial planning services are offered through Canvas Wealth. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth Partners, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. Canvas is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. The information discussed in this show, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but subject to change. The opinions expressed in this show are opinions of the individuals, and they have not been approved by, and are not necessarily those of, Q Wealth as a firm. This is not legal, accounting, tax, or investment advice, and should not be relied as such.